Our scripture reading for today during this week of the Good Shepherd is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. What's the largest mass crowd that you've ever been a part of? I was thinking of that this morning, and I think for myself, it was probably at a Nebraska Cornhuskers game my senior year in high school. About 70,000 plus people. It's roughly twice the size of the new Twin Stadium. If you've ever been to Times Square for a New Year's celebration, you're probably in a crowd of a million plus. Sometimes I think that might get close to 2 million people down in the streets of New York. It's easy to feel pretty insignificant when you're in a group that size. And you realize how many people there are in the world and this mass of humanity and just how tiny and small and insignificant you can feel. The text before us begins today by talking about the power of God and the immensity of God. And when we think about how huge God is and all-powerful and all-knowing, how insignificant that can kind of make us feel. Isaiah says, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. And in our insignificance and smallness, we can sometimes feel a little bit intimidated or even terrified by God and by the fact that he is just so enormous and so immense. At Mount Sinai, when God came and delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses and the children of Israel, God showed his authority there in these tremendous acts of nature. And we're told that all the people around the mountain trembled. Can you imagine what it was like to be in that crowd of people, probably 1.5 million or so people, just trembling at the foot of the mountain, experiencing all of these things, seeing God and his immensity in the cloud. And God at that time commanded Moses, he says, warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. How all-consuming this enormous God is compared to us tiny little frail human beings in the light of all of that. And how kind of insignificant our lives can sometimes feel, too, when we think of the massive humanity that is out there. Sometimes we think there's kind of safety in numbers, that we can hide a little bit in numbers. But when it comes to God, that really isn't the case. Despite the fact that there are billions of people in the world, and you think of how many people have lived throughout the centuries, and yet God still knows what's going on in the head of every person in this room, what's going on in our hearts, what's going on in our lives. Think of that story where Jesus was standing in a house, and there were so many people that wanted to see him and probably witness a miracle that the house was so packed they couldn't get into the house. The friends of the paralyzed man had to drop him down from up above. And if you remember in that text, it says that some of the men in the room, when Jesus told the man his sins were forgiven, some of the men in the room started to have bad thoughts about Christ, that he was blaspheming God, and were told Jesus read every one of their thoughts. That's pretty intimidating for us too, isn't it? That even though we're insignificant and small in this huge mass of people in the world, that God still can know what's going on in every one of our hearts and minds. In the Sistine Chapel in Rome, there's a judgment scene that you walk underneath as you leave that chapel. And on there, Michelangelo, it took him about 8 or 9 years to paint this wall alone, he painted the faces of the damned as you're leaving. And he used individual people that he knew as models for some of those faces, people he didn't necessarily like, as you can imagine. And I always think, what was that like if you went in there to worship, and then as you were walking out, there were all these faces depicted, and here is your face as one of the damned, painted so individually. We're told in the scriptures that on Judgment Day, all the nations will be gathered before God. All the nations. I've had students in class say to me, what is that going to be like? That's just ridiculous to think what that's going to be like, how Judgment Day, all the nations will be gathered before God. And yet in our text, notice how Isaiah describes how God wants to be known. He wants to be known like a shepherd that takes care of a flock of sheep. In the incarnation, God himself, second person of the Trinity, takes your and my human nature and holds it close to himself and presses it into himself. And he takes on the form of a little baby to come into our world and enter our history. And he ultimately goes and lays down his life for the sheep. And in the text in front of us, even a little child can understand this beautiful, tender picture of Jesus being a shepherd who just takes care of his sheep. Listen again. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. Man, how much closer can you get to God than that? He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And you know, when you look through the scriptures and you look at all of the different stories that are out there about how Jesus interacted with people, you can really see this individuality and tenderness with those who believe in him. We think of the woman who was caught in adultery, about to be stoned, and how Jesus knelt down and talked so gently with her. How he singled out Zacchaeus climbing up in the tree, singled him out of the crowd and wanted to go talk to him. We think of the time when Jesus was walking through the crowd and all of a sudden he stopped because he could tell that someone had touched his garment, and there was a woman that had quickly tugged at his garment. We think of the woman outside of the temple in Jerusalem at the alms box, putting in her tiny little coins, and Jesus knew her whole life. We think about how Peter, with his troubled conscience after he had denied Christ, and then when the risen Christ, when Jesus, the resurrected Christ, comes back and pulls him apart from the other disciples to talk so gently to him. There's so many stories like this throughout Scripture where we see this tender, individualized care of the shepherd toward his sheep. You see, the believers in Christ, the church of God, don't just blend into the mass of humanity and get forgotten about. Those who cling to him by faith, who've been given that gift of faith by the work of the Holy Spirit, who hold on to Christ as their Savior, he looks at them as individual sheep in his flock. There's something really neat in our text. I love the personal knowledge that the shepherd has of his sheep. Listen to this line again. He will gently lead those who are with young. That means a pregnant sheep. It's possible that none of the other sheep know that sheep is pregnant. It's possible sometimes for a woman not to even know yet when she's pregnant. And yet he knows it. That's how well and how intimately he understands what's going on in the lives of his sheep. Maybe today you're sitting here and there's some particular sin that's troubling your conscience. Maybe it just happened over the weekend. Maybe it happened years ago. There's something that really makes you worried about God and Judgment Day. Your Lord Jesus knows that hurt inside of you. This loving Savior that went to the cross and laid down his life just for you, he knows what that's like inside of you with his forgiving grace. And maybe today you're feeling worried about something in your life or scared about your future. What's going to happen to me when I get out of college? Am I going to make it through college? Am I going to get a job someday? Am I ever going to get married? Will I ever have kids? Whatever it is, whatever worry is on your heart and mind, be comforted to know that the shepherd knows it too, understands, and he knows the path in life to take you through that is best for each one of his sheep. There's another great line in our text as we conclude. When an army would conquer another land and then come back to their home city, They would have wagons full of the plunder, and they would often hand this out to individual people in the crowd as they went along. Our text says that the Lord is coming and his reward is with him. Through his word and sacraments, our Lord Jesus, who has conquered death and hell and everything that could be against us, he's conquered all of that. He comes back now to his church, to his people, to his flock, and he hands out individually the rewards of war, the plunder of war, so that what happened on the cross and by his empty grave is yours personally. And it's not just thrown out into the crowd. Think of the means of grace. It's your ears that hear his beautiful voice in absolution, that your sins are forgiven. It's your head that is touched individually by the cooling waters of your baptism, making you his child. It's your tongue that tastes the bread and the wine where his blessed with his words, his body and blood are present to reassure you that your sins are forgiven. And so, those of us who have benefited from these rewards, may we always continue to say in the words of that little child's hymn, I am Jesus' little lamb. Amen. Please rise. We pray. O God, by the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people perpetual gladness, and those whom you have delivered from the danger of everlasting death, make us partakers of eternal joys through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.